The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
George Sedano, Tim Kalishaw, Jaydan, the Israel Gutierrez. Check this out. Brock Holt came in to throw, and he treated it like it was the school zone here. 31 miles per hour. Have you ever seen a slower pitch in a major league game?
Not quite. I did throw 42 at a Ranger game, but I told my son I took something off it to dedicate it to Jackie.
There you go. All right. Yes, a tribute to Jackie. Yeah.
Easily gone 44.
We'll get to that later. The final medal count for the Olympics. This is it. This is the list. Look at how they put out the Olympic flame, though. This is awesome. I love this. Give me a little Pokemon in here. The world came together, IOC President Thomas Bach said. Tim Kalishaw around the horns here. You've covered many Olympics. Not this year. Like all of us, you were at home. How did these Olympics land for you?
I think like Chinese teens in synchronized diving, they stuck the landing and won gold. I mean, just think back to 2 weeks ago when this thing started and we heard all of Japan didn't want it to happen, or at least most of the majority of country didn't. And we saw all these events with no fans, and it felt like we're going back in time to a year ago because we'd grown accustomed to full houses for NBA playoffs. And I thought this is going to be very difficult. And by the end, we had performances from Katie Ledecky and Allison Felix and the men's 400-meter hurdlers settling world records. Night after night, there were great events. And to me, it was like any other Olympics I've watched over the last 30 years.
Jay Adande, how did these Olympics land for you?
Well, it's fair to question whether they should have even been held, or, you know, the whole Olympic model, has it become too expensive, too bloated, too corrupt? But there's nothing wrong, and never have Olympians shined brighter, and particularly the American women. And yes, sure, my perspective is biased here, but they accounted for 60% of America's leading medal haul. If the American women had gone as their own country, they would have finished fourth in the medal count. And they really redefined everything from competitive greatness to vulnerability. They made me rethink about bronze medals. For example, Allison Felix and Simone Biles. I've never been more excited to see people win a bronze medal. And just the way they shined under these conditions, certainly less than ideal conditions, the performances that these athletes put on, to me, validated this entire experience.
George, Dan, I'll bring you in here. How did these Olympics land for you?
Look, I think Tim and Jay make some great points, and the athletes certainly deserve a ton of credit for being able to deal with the circumstances that they were dealt with. But look, in regards to the actual execution, yes, they were able to pull it off, but it just didn't sit well with me, Tony. I talked about this weeks ago with you here on the show about how I felt they should have postponed this thing a year, that the citizens in Japan didn't want this thing, because at that particular time, only 9.5% of the entire population had been vaccinated at that point. So there weren't any fans. They still put themselves in harm's way, right, with 80,000 volunteers in that situation. There were 10,000 doctors or medical team specialists that were added to this. It possibly took away from what was going on within the walls of that particular country. But look, ultimately, the last thing I will say is this. As far as the viewing experience, and I'm not trying to take a specific shot at NBC, because I know this had to be hard to deal with, but there were a lot of complaints about the timing of events and when they aired. You know, this isn't 2008 when they were in Beijing, the last time they were in Asia, where Twitter was in its infancy at that particular point. We all know what's happening. So from a programming perspective, I felt like it left a little to be desired.
And Israel Gutierrez, how did these Olympics land for you?
I'll remember it as one of the most memorable, but for all the wrong reasons, right? A lot of the things that George just touched on there, you had Olympic athletes, whether it be from the U.S. or otherwise, not being able to participate because they had COVID. You have the situation with the lack of fans. And I think because we went through this for a year plus or almost a year, you sort of got used to it a little bit. But then when you realize how much better the Olympics would be, so many of those events, even like table tennis, would just be so much more exciting with the crowd there. Maybe I didn't even notice them before, sort of took it for granted. talented, but it's something that was certainly missing this time. But overall, just in terms of the sports themselves, I won't even remember that much. Maybe Simone Biles, well, not maybe, definitely Simone Biles and her struggle, and probably the U.S. men's team because they made a story by losing early in the round robin play. But outside of that, the sports themselves were typical Olympics, but not one where I would be able to differentiate what year it was unless it, you know, becomes with all this lack of fan support, et cetera.
You bring up the U.S. men's basketball team. Let's talk about the two basketball teams from the USA, both getting gold, Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. That's five straight golds now for them. Sue Bird's all-time championship list. If you look at this, I mean, this is a CBS receipt of championships. And Asia Wilson made her claim for the best player in the world right now in this tournament. And then on the men's side, Kevin Durant's claim to the best men's national team player ever in basketball. And speaking of receipts, if you were following Draymond Green's tournament and then celebration, he has a long memory for those who doubted this team when they had that loss. Basketball teams got all the attention. They always do. But when they lost in the group stage for men and the exhibition for women, they have now attained gold status once again. Talk to me about national legacy, Jay Adande.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Draymond Green when he said the American media should be more supportive and really doesn't have the right to criticize. The media is here to criticize, to hold them accountable. You wouldn't have had the revamped program led by Jerry Colangelo, who got another gold medal in a swan song here, if you hadn't had that extreme criticism of the bronze medal team in 2004. So I think it's good, and I think they should welcome the fact that you've got a media that holds them to high standards and sets high expectations. And guess what? They delivered on them. So kudos to the entire team, top to bottom. Extra kudos to the women. Penta kudos to Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi for their five straight gold medals and the level, the standard of excellence they've sent. And it's really cool that Dawn Staley, it's kind of a nice coda for her as a member of that 96 team, probably the most important women's basketball team and the legacy that they left, in particular playing for a year to set up women's professional basketball in the United States back in 96.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, Kevin Durant said it himself. He said, this skill is unmatched. And that's the thing. We all knew that. We've all known that. And so when you struggle or when you lose, hey, we're going to look at you and say, hey, that's a little disappointing. This was so unique in that it came right after the NBA Finals. You had a couple of players jump in right at the beginning of the tournament, and there wasn't really that much preparation, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they still came out on top because they have this unmatched skill. But they made it more interesting, frankly, by losing. Because we were talking before the show here, and a lot of the times outside of maybe like 92 and 08, the teams kind of get muddled together and you don't really remember the greatness. Well, this one you'll remember because they lost to France, because they made a big deal out of potentially not winning gold, and then they came out and won gold anyway and talked their stuff after doing it. So I think in that way they made it a lot more interesting than it would have been if they just dominated.
The criticism was real and it was extensive of this men's team specifically, Tim Kalishaw. Does the national conversation have to keep that energy now that they won?
I mean, I'm with J.A. I just don't think, and Israel, there's nothing surprising about this at all. They did what they were told to do. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks. They're supposed to do that. And we got to watch it for a couple of weeks. And I think, I'm sorry, it's even worse for the women. The women are just Title IX-ing other countries to death. Other countries are so many years behind in giving women any kind of opportunity in this sport. The playing field is.
Oh, let's take a full stop here, because what you say is true. That's absolutely true. That is should be celebrated by all for this country and then what it has done globally.
Yes,
but you can still acknowledge that the team is playing at a level of greatness and skill, like Durant has said, like the women have said, that is at the highest level in the world, right, Tim?
But that list you put up of Sue Bird, that list is more interesting to look at and study than to watch these games. I mean, the games just aren't that good because they're so much better. Woo. They are beyond UConn women. They need to find somebody who can compete with them, and I don't know who that's going to be to get their due.
George, can I bring you in here again? Once again, the criticism of the men's team when they lost to France was huge, was extensive, was enormous. They got the gold. They backed it up. Should they be celebrated now with equal fervor?
Of course they should. To the victor, you know, to the victor go the spoils, right? Like, you get to write history as the winners. And by the way, it probably feels a little better to have that extra motivation. I know at the time you're sitting here saying that, you know, you want to clown everyone, but let's face it,
athletes are who they are. They're the most competitive people on the planet, particularly professional athletes and NBA players specifically. This isn't new to them, yeah. As J.A. pointed out. There's criticism every single day of NBA players, whether some of it is warranted or not is a different discussion. But as far as each and every game, you play 82 games. There's 82 moments to criticize
you. I know. But whether some of it's warranted or not, well, let's have that discussion then, George. I mean, the fact is this team loses and it's a national headline. They win it and you guys are like, yeah, they're supposed to win.
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm hearing that from Kalishaw.
I'm saying they should celebrate this, Tony. I don't think there's any question about that. But let's not act like this was easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Kalishaw, I mean, am I wrong here? You think this should have been easy in the way it is?
It's easier than Popovich thinks it is. You could take off the top 10 players from the all-NBA teams. Start with the third team. You've still got all-stars playing. And France's second-best team, they got Batum and Fournier. Those are not all-star players.
J.A.?
No, wait, Tim. They would lose if not for Kevin Durant, who should have been off resting his surgically repaired Achilles tendon. Instead, he shows up for USA Basketball and delivers the gold almost single-handedly. The 29 points and the gold medal, by the way,
Damian
his
Lillard
lowest
couldn't
scoring
hit some
gold
of those
medal
shots. Devin Booker couldn't hit some of those shots. They got plenty of shooters.
No, clearly not.
And last word, Israel Gutierrez.
I mean, those are all luxuries, Tim. Like, Damian Lillard is not the regular Damian Lillard when he's out there and the ball's going through Kevin Durant all the time. And so, yes, he becomes essentially sort of a spot-up shooter. There's enough differences in the game, the international game. There's enough of a challenge when it comes to coming off of your season going into the playoffs or going into the Olympics and not having enough time together. All those things makes things a little bit more equal. But
I don't think you guys have
talent,
convinced Tim Kalishaw here. I don't think Greg Popovich.
Rudy Gobert played in the second round. Batum played in the conference finals. They were over here too. They weren't over in France playing.
This is the Kalishaw. Get some points after the horn here. That's going to be the last word on that. I want to say one more thing. I know you guys felt like there were no fans there and it certainly was missing something. One thing about these games, these were the games that we saw family and friends react from afar and at home for me. And to me, that was all great. I mean, look at this. Meadow was wonderful, right? But to give everyone this moment and to have everyone give you that moment back is the great reward. I always thought the simplest description of love with family and friends is the word encouragement. It's when I becomes we and us and out. This is visual. Look at Grandma back there. Somebody hug Grandma. Oh, I love all this. We'll be back with Buy or Sell in 2 minutes.
Never knew what time of day it was in those.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The hottest team in baseball right now, 8 straight wins, the Fightin' Phils. Did the flipperoo in the NL East this weekend, swept the Mets, jumped into first. The Mets are cobra posing into third, and owner Steve Cohen is tweeting through it. George, more about what the Phillies are doing or what the Mets are failing to do.
Tony, this is about the Mets implosion. That's what I'm buying in this situation. They've lost 7 of 8. And look, Zach Wheeler retired 22 straight in that game at one point. The Mets lost six games in the standings in this particular road trip. A disastrous situation for
them. Jim Callishaw.
Yeah, I think it's more about the Phillies, though. Doesn't it seem like they've been waiting a long time to show people, hey, we got Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. This is going to mean something someday. And this weekend it did, and they are taking off, and they're going to win that division.
Yeah, Donde.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything at the deadline. The Mets added a Javi Baez to the lineup. Philly just stayed pat, and it's working so far. Little concern, though, because they've got a -6 run differential. I don't think that bodes well long term.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, no, this isn't about the Phillies. They've only been, what, 8-game winning streak? This is about the Mets collapse. This is about the owner just having a meltdown sort of on Twitter about going into the locker room and thinking that's going to fix the anemic offense. You know, about a team that picked up Javi Baez and still can't get a run. So, yeah, this is absolutely a lot more fun to watch the Mets collapse in a little 8-game win.
I know Baez did a home run first time they saw him. There's a golden sombrero mixed in there as well. He needs to perform. Bryce Harper may be making a run at NL MVP, by the way, seeing as he's the only guy who's still standing at the moment. We'll move on. The latest on Dak Prescott. Tim Callishaw, we all turn to you with bated breath. He's done light throwing, but apparently this was not with an official ball. It was with a smaller ball. And Clarence Hill Jr., forward star Telegram, reporting the Cowboys have consulted with the Texas Rangers on how to treat a throwing injury. Tim, consulting with the Texas Rangers? Is that a cause for concern for the Cowboys and Dak?
Sounds a little scary when we saw Brock Holt throwing 31 miles an hour at the start of the show. But as the only panelist who was in Oxnard the day Dak stopped throwing, this has been a concern since then. We knew then it wasn't really day-to-day, and he wasn't going to be back in a couple days because he said, I've never had a sore arm before. I don't know what this feels like. It seems more serious.
The only panelist who was in Oxnard. When you're at the Nard, you're always on guard. Go ahead, Adonde.
It's extra concerning because he's coming off that injury-shortened season when he threw the fewest passes in his career, 222. So what happens if he were to get back up into the 500s like in a normal season? So if he's coming off rest and he can't throw without getting sore, yeah, I'd be pretty worried.
I don't know if there's reason for concern. I would just see it as smart because you just signed this guy to, what, $40 million a year for 4 years? And I don't care who you have to consult with. I would try to find out exactly what's wrong with him. And
okay.
So if it's a little bit of an ego hit that your own staff can't figure it out, that's fine. I don't care where you go.
So you're all right with going to the Texas Rangers, they of the ERA that is halfway to 10. Go ahead, George Sedano.
Tony, I'm absolutely in on this. I'm buying it. Look, fantasy owners should be happy that they're making sure to check in on, I don't know, a sport where they actually use their arm more than anywhere else, right? Where they have actual experience with this kind of stuff. And by the way, Tim, when you're in Oxnard, baby, you got to go to get the strawberry patches. J.A. knows what I'm talking about. When you're in Oxnard, not only you catch the Cowboys, you get some right, strawberries when you're there.
Someone's denying Oxnard has the best of the strawberry patches. I'm still stuck on this, Tim, that the Cowboys couldn't get their heads around the throwing motion they had to talk to the Texas Rangers. This is the first time?
It's just doctors and trainers talking to other doctors and trainers when you break it down.
Speaking of, you look like you're wearing your OR scrubs to the show today. Thank you very much for dressing up, Tim Callishaw. We'll move on. The latest on the Seahawks tackle, Dwayne Brown. He reported to camp but is not practicing with the Seahawks. So that is not a holdout. They're calling it a hold-in with the soon-to-be 36-year-old. Seahawks may be slow to negotiate with him. This caught the attention of Russell Wilson that Dwayne Brown's on the field, and he seems a little bit concerned about that. He knows he needs his left tackle, Jay Adonde. Wilson versus the front office was the storyline this offseason. How do you hear him publicly talking about his contract of his tackle?
Good looking out. You hear about quarterbacks taking a lineman out for a fancy dinner or buying them expensive watches. Well, this is a step further, right? Trying to hook him up with a contract extension, using his clout to take care of his guy.
Israel.
Well, he's already once restructured his contract for Brown, so obviously he means a lot to him and this organization. I know he's 36, but the last few years, he's only missed 4 games total out of 3 seasons, so it's something that's probably going to get worked out. It's a hold-in. They're going to be able to converse. They're going to be able to have face-to-face conversations. It'll get settled, and that Seattle offense will be spectacular.
George Dano.
Tony, in the NBA, we have player empowerment. In the NFL, we're getting quarterback empowerment. Whether it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, now Russell Wilson continues to put his stamp on where he thinks this roster and this franchise should be. I love it. I'm buying it.
And that may have led to an icy relationship this offseason, Tim. Do you think the Seahawks are going to go to the table now with Brown because Wilson said so?
Not necessarily. I think this is about something else. I think this is Russell Wilson trying to regain favor with an offensive line that he may have been a little critical of when he said, we got to get a better offense around here. That may not have sat that well. That might have ruffled some Seahawk feathers if the Seahawks had feathers.
Tim, do me a favor. Stick your arms up just like this for a second. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you got to get it's time to scrub out, Tim. Good. The Irish is done, too. Sedano and Don, they show down in 2 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to give a special thanks to my old rival, Ray Lewis, for being here tonight. Ray just finished giving his speech that he started in 2018. And speaking of rivals, my good friend Tom Brady is here tonight. By the time he is inducted in his first year of eligibility in the year 2035, he'll only have time to post his acceptance speech on his Instagram account.
That's Peyton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony Sunday. That's George and J.A. in Showdown. George, what jumped out at you?
Is that Peyton Manning? We were talking earlier about quarterback empowerment. He started that thing. Remember? The idiot kicker, all that stuff. This is about Peyton Manning showing he's got a personality, which is rare at that position.
Well, he was still rushed. No, he's always shown personality, but it was interesting that he took some time to advocate for football, saying we need to preserve the sport, and that means he's concerned about the future of the sport if he's taking time from his Hall of Fame speech to advocate.
I thought that too, Jay. Did it seem to you like this could be the next commissioner of the NFL?
I mean, he's great at reading defenses. Yeah. I think he's reading the landscape and seeing the sports in trouble.
The slowest pitch you've ever seen in a major league game, I'm betting it's this one right here. Brock Holt came in to throw for the Rangers, 31 miles per hour, and the next pitch was 32. He dialed it up.
And he got out of the inning in three batters.
Think he earned a second chance, Jay? And you want to rename this Ephus pitch something else? Go ahead.
Yeah, he did earn a second chance. I think he earned the right to rename the pitch. I think we should call it the Biggie pitch because, to quote Notorious B.I.G., my slow flow's remarkable. That's what you had there.
Okay, all right, I'm not beating this, but I'm still going to go with the drop pitch. Just like we have the drop kick in football, the drop pitch, because you know it goes up and then it drops.
Yes, it does. It goes up and then it drops. You're right about that, George. But you're not getting the point. FaceTime, Jay and Don
there. I like your score there. Well, crisis averted, fortunately. The Olympics are done. We still had the Outrage Olympics on Twitter when video appeared to show a fan and hear a fan shouting the N-word while an African-American batter for the Miami Marlins was at the plate at the Colorado Rockies game. The Rockies issued a statement saying they wouldn't tolerate that. It turns out after further investigation, he was just trying to get the attention of the mascot, which is named Dinger. If your mascot's name can be mistaken for a racial slur, you might want to change the name.
Oh, but that's not the story. The story's the reporting to begin with, though. We'll see you tomorrow.